This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Dr. Murray, Dr. Jones, faculty, staff, student body, what a great honor and wonderful privilege for me to be here with you this morning. What a great way to start off a Tuesday morning, lifting our hands and worshiping and praising God. Amen? Amen. It is such an exciting opportunity for me to be here with you this morning. On behalf of the Armed Forces Chaplaincy Center, and more specifically, the Naval Chaplaincy School and Center, we thank you for allowing us, because I represent all of the military chaplains that serve our men and women all around the globe. I serve them and represent them as I stand before you today. So thank you for having us with you in this worship service. As the commanding officer of the Naval Chaplaincy School and Center, my job is to take civilian pastors and to transform them into Navy chaplains. Pastors fulfill their calling through their programs and ministry within the church. Chaplains fulfill their calling through their physical presence in a military unit empowered by the indwelling of God's presence. You see, with pastors, it's about what they do. It's about the programs. It's about the people in the church. And the people come to them. But with chaplains, it's more about who they are, their being, their presence. For you see, military chaplains and chaplains in general go where the people are. We live with them, we walk with them, we eat with them, we do whatever they do. And when the time is right, they turn and they say something like this, "Chaps, since you're here," and they launch into their story. And they ask questions and they seek with earnesty. And God is present. And He touches their lives in such a way many times that changes their life for all of eternity. When I receive a pastor from the church community and I put them into the Navy community, when I dress them in this uniform, something happens to them. For, in essence, I'm stripping them of their programs, of their structures, of their doing. And so that chaplain almost immediately begins to struggle with their sense of relevance, because I have taken away, to some degree, those things which they have been accustomed to as being the traditional forms of ministry. And so I began to teach them the real relevance of what it means to be a chaplain, to be the bearer of the presence of God. In the Navy Chaplain Corps, we refer to that as the ministry of presence. We talk about deck plate ministry. We carry our Bible, we wear our uniform, and we go to the deck plate. You have to understand that I'm a sailor and have served on three different ships. And so when I go to do ministry, I don't have a nice little chapel and a nice little office. I go out to the bridge wing, right outside the pilot house, and I stand next to the starboard watch. A young sailor, 18 years old, with binoculars in his eyes. And I stand there with him, and I'm enjoying the beautiful scenery. And then he turns to me. "Oh, chaps, I didn't know you were here. But now that you're here," and he launches into that story, the Emmanuel factor, God with us. If you have your Bible with you this morning, Let me ask you to take and open to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and there we'll look at verses 3 through 5. Did I say 1 Corinthians? I was testing you. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. You're supposed to know what I'm saying and anticipate me. Thank you for being kind and gracious. As we read with the third verse, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Now I want you to key on that word comfort. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. And may God bless the reading of His Word. May His Word be a rich lamp, a bright lamp unto our feet. Today I want to share with you a few concepts of being the bearer of the presence of God. And there are a couple of propositions that I'm going to throw at you. The first proposition is that chaplains are the bearers of the presence of God. You see, I train ministers to be chaplains. That's what I do. And I love it with all of my heart. I get to take these young men and women and I get to reshape them as they go to the fleet to minister to sailors and marines and guardians, soldiers and airmen, and touch their lives with a vital message that, praise God, will change their life for all of eternity. So we start talking to them almost immediately about a theology of chaplaincy. And so I suggest that this morning that we start with the word comfort. From the Greek, parakalesis, translated para, by the side of, kilio, to call. In other words, to be called to one side as a comforter. Now, since I'm a sailor, I need to share with you a few nautical terms so that you understand a little bit of what I'm talking about when I launch into some of my acronyms in my Navy language. In the Navy, when a ship comes alongside another ship that is moored, we call it coming along, rigging fenders and coming alongside. Now, a fender is a huge bladder filled with air that floats on top of the water that is secured against the side of one ship, say the port side of one ship, and another ship is going to take its starboard side, that's the right side as you're facing forward, and it's going to come alongside, and those fenders become a comfort to that ship that's being moored to the one that's moored to the pier. And it keeps it from banging into each other and breaking things. Cost a lot of money when those things break. And so the Navy term is that we're going to rig fenders and come alongside. And you can use that for many different scenarios and situations. And in this case, I believe one to be called to one side. We rig fenders and we come alongside others to help them, to comfort them as we bear the presence of God. The word comforter comes from two Latin words, cum, meaning with, and forte, meaning fortification, fortress, or to fortify. Now, this is Mike's translation, and Mike's translation says, someone who comes alongside to strengthen, to guide, and to support. That's what Navy chaplains do. In the Navy, when we come alongside of someone, we call it rigging fenders. And so if I tell somebody, I'm going to rig fenders with Jim, people understand what I'm talking about on the ship. They kind of pick up on that nomenclature as I throw my religious language around at times. And I love going along and rigging fenders with people and putting my arms around them and talking to them and letting them ask the questions, because sooner or later we get down to the nuts and bolts and we start talking about their faith. As believers in Jesus Christ, Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the indwelling personal presence of Christ who comes alongside of us, providing God's presence, giving comfort and peace. In essence, He has rigged fenders and He's come alongside of us and He lives in us. Thus, the ministry of presence, the Emmanuel factor, God with us. So while pastors find their calling played out through programs and structure and doing, and that's an important piece of who we are as ministers. Chaplains, on the other hand, find their playing out of their ministry in being present for such a time as this. Bearing the presence of God, being the Emmanuel factor. In 2007, I was in Fallujah, Iraq, and I was the force chaplain for 45,000 Marines and sailors that were in Al Anbar province. We had just formed up the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force, and we moved forward into that province. And we were stationed in Fallujah, and we covered the largest province in Iraq. I had some 105 different chaplains that were spread out all through Al Anbar province. 105 religious program specialists, that's the chaplain's assistant that goes with them. In actuality, they serve as our force protection as well. They carry weapons, they're combatants, they protect us one-on-one. And I have the opportunity to lead those. And I went in with General Walt Gaskins, who is the commanding general for 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force. We had two other general officers with us, General Allen and General Gerganus, and it was my responsibility to make sure that all of the men and women in our force had all of their spiritual needs taken care of. And so on a weekly basis, I was traveling, flying all over Al Anbar province, actually flying all over Iraq, into Baghdad, up to Balad, all over, down into the southern part of Iraq, down to Basra and places like that. And most of the time I was flying with the general. Just a week before this particular trip that I'm going to talk to you about, we had had a CH-46 aircraft that had been shot down. On that particular morning, I was standing in Combat Operations Center and I was watching the battlefield. We had these remote-controlled aircraft, unmanned aircraft that were flying through. We had a camera. We could see what was going on. And we had one of those remote control planes that were flying over, and we could see this CH-46 that had been shot down, and it was on the ground, and it was burning. And we were in there, and there was such quietness in that combat operation center. And they were pulling the crew out, and they laid them out, six in a row. And we saw that take place. The aircraft was burning. There wasn't much left to it. It had been hit by a shoulder-fired surface-to-air missile. We didn't know they had those things. And we're flying over this region between Fallujah and Ramadi, this region called Saqlawiya. And it was bad guy territory. And they still had control of it. On this particular day, I was flying with General Gaskin. I was in the aircraft with him. And we got into the aircraft, and as I got into the aircraft, I sat on the starboard side, that's the right side. He sat on the port side, that's the left side, and in the middle of the aircraft, and we sat in these cloth seats, and they're outlined in aluminum, so they're not real comfortable. They're not like these. I'd take those in a heartbeat. But we're sitting, and you know, these are the gunners on the forward part of the aircraft, and they're sitting on ammo cans. It's filled with 40 millimeter, or at least, it's 40 millimeter ammunition, and they're manning the guns. And just behind them, we're seated. That's General Gaskin on the right-hand side. That's yours truly, right there on the left. And we were all geared up, and we're going forward. He was going to a conference. Normally, he's in battle dress also, dressed much like I am, with his flak jacket, helmet, and the fire-retardant overalls and things like that. This time, he was looking really nice. He had to go and do some diplomatic stuff with some of the Iraqis. And so we were going north, and just behind me, if I can get this thing, just behind me, or just to my left, was the aft end of the aircraft. And that's what it looks like when you look out into Al Anbar, out into the desert, and the door is always open. It's about 120 degrees, and you get used to it. And 120 to 140 degrees, depending upon where you are. And we're up about 3,500 feet. And we're flying. We take off from Fallujah, and we move up to about 3,000 square feet. And we have to fly over Sacluija. And I didn't really think much of it. And we're up there flying along. And then about that time, the aircraft pitches violently to the left. And I hear a huge bang. Well, that got my attention. And then the aircraft drops about 1,000 feet, and we can feel it falling. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just holding on to the aircraft. I think my fingerprint are still in those aluminum bars. And I look around the aircraft, and the general's looking at me, and his aide is looking at me, and my RP is looking at me, and I'm looking at me. And then the aircraft starts to pitch to the right, pitch to the left. It's diving, and I look out of the window. And I see the other aircraft, and it's pitching and diving and turning, and the two supporting aircraft, Cobra gunships, are doing the same thing. About that time, he starts to deploy his chaff to try to counter the shoulder-fired missiles that had locked onto the aircraft. And we're jinking, and we're turning, and we're falling. And just before we get to the ground, at about 100 feet, he levels out. Whew. And we fly nap of the earth for the next 15, 20 miles, and we land at Ramadi, and he pops the nose of the aircraft up, slams it down to the ground, and we stand up, unbuckle, and we walk off the aircraft. I no sooner get off the aircraft, and the general turns to me, and he says, "Chaplain, I'm glad you were on my aircraft." I never felt more like a rabbit's foot in all my life. But I learned something that day. You see, I learned that it wasn't about Mike, but it was about God, and he did not have the theological language to form what he was really feeling. What he was really saying was, I was glad that God was present on that aircraft. I was glad that he sat with us and he protected us. And in this time of being on the ground, he's comforting us. Chaplains are the bearers of the presence of God. And that was driven home, oh, so poignantly to me on that day. But you see, you don't have to be a chaplain to be a bearer of the presence of God. God has called you, each of you, to be a bearer of the presence of God as well. God has called you to bear witness to him who lives inside of you. You don't have to be a chaplain. I just think that chaplains have a special place as they bear God's presence. Wherever they go, whatever they do, I don't have a church or a chapel that I work out of. I work out of my ditty bag. And I go where they go. I eat what they eat. I live where they live. But you too can bear the presence of God right where you are. And maybe you've never thought of it that way. You know, in Exodus 33:12-14, Moses is bringing the Israelites out of captivity, and he's got them in the Sinai desert, and they're wondering and they're asking all kind of questions. God, what are you doing with us out here? Where are you? How come? Maybe you've said and asked some of those same things. And God said to Moses, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. I will give you comfort. I will take care of all of your needs." Now I want you to think about your story this morning. And I want you to think about how you have had the opportunity to comfort others. Because the purpose that God comforted you is so that you can comfort others. Now, how are you to do that? You're to do that with the same comfort that you received from God. And how did God comfort you? He comforted you with His presence. So He wants you to comfort others with your presence. Remember now that the Holy Spirit resides in you. The Holy Spirit lives you. So in essence, God touches others through your physical presence. In the Navy, we call that the ministry of presence. You connecting with me? But the ministry of presence isn't just confined to Navy and military chaplaincy. In fact, as Christian professionals, in the workplace, in the world, where we live our lives, we're to bear witness to Christ in all that we do, and we are to be the best that we can be at the vocation that He's called us to. We're to be the bearers of the presence of God. We are Christians who are professionals at our jobs, who are living and bearing the presence of God and bearing that presence well. In 1996, I was transferred from Hawaii to Iceland. That's the Navy. We loved Hawaii. My wife loved it. The kids loved it. They saw all the islands. I was never home. I was always at sea on the ship. We went to Iceland, and we lived there for 4 years, and it became the best place that we've ever served. I stayed there for 4 years. I was the chapel pastor. I was the deputy command chaplain, the number two guy of six chaplains. We had Air Force and Navy chaplains there. I was also the hospital chaplain. I was also the primary counselor for the base. It was a NATO base, Naval Air Station, Keflavik, Iceland, just south of Reykjavik, the capital. And in that 4 years, I had the opportunity to counsel over 6,000 different cases from young kids, did a lot of stuff with ADHD and ADD all the way up to marriage and family counseling, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, one of the greatest joys of my life was being the chapel pastor. On this particular Sunday in the series, I was preaching on faith. And I was talking about how God comes alongside of us and He takes care of us and He expects us to believe with all of our heart that He's going to take care of us the way His Word says that He will. And I was preaching out of Samuel, the first chapter of Samuel, Elkanah and Hannah and Eli, and eventually Samuel. And after that sermon, there was a couple in our class, Kurt and Karen, came up to me and said, you know, we're going to have a little girl. And when she's born, we're going to name her Hannah after the things that you said today, because it's all about faith. And God has blessed us beyond our wildest dreams. And so, as we did that, Hannah was born. Hannah died a week later from congenital birth defects. And oh, how faithful that couple was. They asked me to escort Hannah all the way back to Sacramento, California, where I had the opportunity to bury her. And all along the way, God touched the lives of individuals. On the aircraft, there was a pilot that walked back to the back of the aircraft with me. And we stood over Hannah's coffin and we prayed, and he had not talked about his tragedy. He lost his wife and his son in Flight 800 in the crash just outside of New York just a few months before that. And the handlers that took Hannah off the aircraft and put her into the hearse as we went to the Dover mortuary, and then as we traveled to Philadelphia on our way to Sacramento, and all along the way, God was touching people through this young baby. And they would turn and they would say, "Chaplain." And they would launch into their story or their experience, and they wanted to know how God was going to respond and how God could touch their lives. God comforted, and He comforts each of us with His presence so that we can comfort others with His presence. You see, Dr. Jones has a vision not of professional Christians, but of Christians who are professionals, who brings the presence of God to the workplace. And so it's imperative that you and I live that presence well, that we would become and be a vessel of the presence. Well, how do we do that? Well, if you're going to be a bearer of the presence of God, then you need to live the presence well. That means that you have to have a personal relationship with God that is nurtured on a daily basis. You have to smile and you have to be filled with joy and peace. You have to love others and you need to show it and let it permeate your whole being. And then you need to have a special place, a meeting place with God, a place where you meet Him every day, a tent of meeting, if you will, where He comes and He tabernacles with you. Not every other day, not once a month, but every day, two or three or four times a day, where you meet God and you get to know Him and where He gets to know you. And then you need to call upon Him and beseech Him to come and to be present with you. For if you call upon His name, He will come and be near to you. And after being in His presence, your face will shine with the glory of having been in the presence of Almighty God. And other people will see that, and they will want to connect with that. And you will have an opportunity to show them the way and the truth and the life that will change your life for all of eternity. And you don't have to be in the military to do it. In 1989, we had just come back from Honduras, and we were getting ready to do some other exercises, and Desert Storm, Desert Shield broke out. And we were given 4 days to pack up all of our junk and get it on the ship and start heading toward the Persian Gulf. And the Navy assembled 45 amphibious ships, the largest amphibious armada since the Korean War. Some 20-something thousand Marines loaded onto those ships. And we loaded up all of our battle dress and all of our equipment, and we were going to encounter the horrors of war. That was the first of 3 war zones that I've had the opportunity to minister to the men and women in the military in. In this particular case I was stationed on, I went to the USS Guam, an LPH, landing platform helicopter. Helicopter carried about 1,800 Marines, about a battalion size. And then it also had 3 different squadrons on it, CH-46s. And every Sunday morning I had service in the forecastle. That's where the anchor windlass and the anchor chains and everything are located. And this is the scene. And we would have anywhere from 200 to 300 Marines and sailors in service. And so there I am preaching intently to these Marines, and there's a Marine Major standing right back here in the back. Can you see him? He's in a coat and tie. Now, we're going to war, folks. We're all in battle dress, and he's in a blue blazer, nice, beautiful tie, white trousers on a Navy ship. There's grease everywhere. And so I'm preaching up a storm, and there is Major Russell. Can you see him in the back? Can you see him with the tie? Doesn't he stand out like a sore thumb? And so he's standing back there, and he's all got his arms crossed, and he's almost daring me to preach the gospel message to him. One day he came to me real quick, as I have just a few minutes. He says to me, "How come you're always smiling in this place? How come you're always upbeat? How come you always seem like nothing phases you? Can we go to your office and talk?" Well, I had a little box of an office, had a desk, 2 chairs. I get in there, we squeeze in there, I shut the door, and I look at him and I said, "Major, if I could share with you right now something that would change your life and fill you with joy and peace, would you be interested in that?" That morning, Major Greg Russell came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He became one of the most dynamic, brand new Christians that I have ever run across in my whole ministerial career. He was hungry for God's Word. He not only wanted to know, he wanted to embody everything that he could about God and being God's servant. I lost track of Major Russell after we finished that event, and we went on to new duty stations, and I was coming back to him after Iceland. I was coming back to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and I was trying to find Major Russell. He had since gotten out of the Marine Corps, started his own business, and he was in the process of starting a few other businesses. And I read in the paper one day where there had been a private plane crash, and a group of men were killed as they were going to Charlotte to do some business, and Major Greg Russell was one of those men. I never got to see Greg again, but I did talk to his wife. And she said, "You know, Mike, I've been trying to find you for all of these years since Desert Storm." And Greg became such a dynamic Christian, and he loved you for what you did. It wasn't about me. It was about the God that he came to know and serve. And she said something to me that really just blessed my heart beyond my wildest dreams. She said, "You know, I had been praying for him for 18 years to come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he never would hear me. Speak to the hand." And he came to know Christ in that day. Chaplains and people like you and I who respond to the call to ministry have to be the bearers of the presence of God. Because people are hungry and they're looking for the way, the truth, and the life. And you and I can be the instrument that God uses to touch those lives and to change them for all of eternity. Chaplains are the bearers of the presence of God. You do not have to be a chaplain to be the bearer of the presence of God. And as Christian professionals, we must live the presence well, because we are the bearers of the presence of God. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak in this assembly today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit is even now working mightily amongst us. And oh God, as you have touched the lives of many, all of these men and women, I pray that you would continue to move mightily and direct them and to touch them and to rig fenders and to come alongside of them and to comfort them and to love them beyond their wildest dreams. And as you call them into the world, O Father, prepare them as Christians who love you with all of their heart, mind, and soul to be the professionals with such credibility that other people will see you living in them and want to know more about that. Now bless us this day. Empower us to be the courageous men and women of faith, all to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless each of you.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.